We welcome back to the program the voice of the New England Patriots. He's the lovely and talented Bob Soucy. Hello there, Bob.
Hello there, Rich. That's a lot of pressure to put on me, kind of like the leadoff man expected to go out and work the count, let everybody else see the pitchers, set the tone, be that leadoff guy.
Well, you've got a great on-base percentage. You know how to read the pitcher, and then when you get on base, you make things happen.
I lack the speed of your prototypical leadoff man, Rich.
You steal those bases.
As an all-glove, no bat high school player in my days.
Well, that's what I was, too. And not really not even that great a glove, either. But of the two, that was the better. I saw you got your annual vacation time up in Maine a few weeks back.
We did. Thank you. Yeah, as soon as school let out at the end of June, we headed north, though not too far north. We tend to settle just south of Portland, different spot every year, and had a great time. We had an extreme shift in weather, as you know, from couple of consecutive very, very hot days to, by the time we ended our vacation, a couple of consecutive very cool days, very windy and rainy as well. But it was a great time. I always love going up that way.
Right. One of these years, before I get too old, I'm going to get in the car and drive down and steal you away from your family for an hour or so and buy you one of those fine Maine craft beers.
There are so many of them. I've tried to cut back since I returned from vacation. Like so many, having worn sweatpants and shorts and jeans for the better part of the last 2 years, when I got back from vacation and tried to put on some more appropriate pants for, not necessarily dress pants, but just, pants that I wear, to work or to a night out and with my wife, and they didn't buckle so easily, so... I had to cut back on the craft beer, but Maine is certainly a place where you can find a lot of great breweries, for sure. Just in that Portland area alone, but I know there's some others I have to explore a little bit further upstate or in-state.
Well, let's be honest. Pants are pretty overrated.
I've got to be careful where I go with this, Rich. The guy's been caught with his pants down quite a bit on the air, but nonetheless,
I know that feeling.
they are overrated most of the time, but you don't want to go out in public without them.
No. I try not to do that. Sometimes I forget. My wife yells, usually before I get out of the driveway. Let's talk about the Patriots. We're a few days into camp. How do things look so far?
Well, like you said, we're only a few days into camp, and, there's a lot of optimism about certain parts of the team. There are a lot of questions about other parts of the team, and, of course, no position right now is a source of more intrigue and, to some degree, mystery than the quarterback spot. And I think, early on, we have seen both quarterbacks have their moments. One of the things that's very impressive about Cam Newton, to me, is the kind of leadership that he exerts, and it's something we've heard throughout his brief time with the Patriots all last year, how popular he was with teammates in the locker room, all the intangibles. We've seen that even with his colleague at quarterback, guy he's in competition with, Mac Jones, yesterday taking a moment late in practice after a frustrating sequence for Mac to go over as the veteran, pat him on the backside, offer encouragement, and then get in his ear a little bit and give him some advice and talk a little bit to lift his spirits, if you will. And on the flip side of that, we have seen in Mac Jones, a kid who as a rookie, first-round draft pick, came as advertised in terms of some of the nuances of quarterback play and as well processing, quick release, a guy that seems to know where he wants to go with the ball. There have been missed throws, but a lot of good signs from that standpoint, and as well his maneuverability within the pocket, his ability to step up and slide in either direction. So, those are two players right now that, are alternating reps. Cam's leading off. Mac is going second. They're not really, in a situation where none of the players have pads on. We're not seeing any hitting yet. We won't see pads until Tuesday. So we've got a long way to go before, any competition, whether it's quarterback or any other position, really begins in earnest. But it has been an interesting couple of days, and even today as well, watching those guys get their feet wet in training camp, Cam responding to the fans appreciating both of them, And as well, just to be back at it behind Gillette Stadium, there's nothing like it this time of the year.
Absolutely. What if any positional battles are there beyond that quarterback situation?
Well, I think you have a lot of positions where right now the Patriots have great depth, or at least have good depth. Offensive line looks like it's a strong situation, but even within those positions, like the offensive line, there are going to be position battles, maybe not necessarily for the starters' roles, but for those depth pieces, which always become important, because every year we know the NFL is a game of attrition. And in the Patriots' case, you know, as the recent past has shown us, there are oftentimes where they're going to lean on somebody to dispel a starter, a frontline player at a very important position for some length of time. And I look at like the offensive line. Who are going to be the swing tackles on this team, the depth pieces there. And one of the guys who I think, you know, came back with the Pats after a year in Miami as a primary example of a player that, you know, can really help them, whether he's a starter or in reserve at center or guard, Teddy Karras had to leave today's practice after it looked like he injured his left leg, left knee. Now, he did walk off on his own power, which is a real positive sign. But still, that bears watching in the next couple of days. Now, that's a position, for example. It looks like it's a strength on paper, but still, you know, they've got some competition there for that second layer behind the starting unit. Defensively in the secondary, we're not seeing Stephon Gilmore right now because he's on PUP, and in the secondary, the whole defense is the strength of this team. But you know, what guys in on the back end, you know, are going to position themselves to be more you know, prominent players this year? Can Juwan Williams, as the third year player, do it? And then you have areas where they really haven't had depth, like wide receiver, to me. And that's an area where I think, you know, a lot of questions remain for that team. We've got Aguilar and Bourne. Nikhil Harry's in an interesting spot today. Met the media, of course, Rich, after his agent requested a trade. you know, he's a guy who's gotten off to a good start. But, you know, again, much remains to be seen from him in the near future. And I'll just throw one more in there. The running back position, to me, is going to be fascinating as well, because you've got some really fine pieces there in place. Damian Harris coming off a solid year. I think he looks like he's poised to be a top back. Even Bill Belichick talked about him with some high praise the other day. But at the same time, Sonny Michel looks like he might have been inspired. Pats didn't pick up his fifth-year option. And Damian's coming off a real good year. Sonny looks like he showed up in better shape, a little bit lighter, a little bit quicker. And then you go down the line, and you know, I think that that's going to be a deep group. But who's going to be that very versatile type back, the way Rex Burkhead was? They've got James White for third down. They've got Harris and Michelle, but can somebody else emerge as kind of the Burkhead type who can also catch the ball consistently out of the backfield as well as run it?
We're talking with Bob Soucy here on Downtown. I already like the acquisition of some of the tight ends that they've added to the roster. Then I saw the post yesterday about the Boston Tea Party, as in T-E, tight end, and now I'm even more excited.
Well, Johnny Smith and Hunter Henry, of course, were two of them, the big names out there in free agency that the Patriots went after and got. And maybe no bigger names, given the lack of production at the tight end position for them the last couple of years. Smith first, and then, of course, I think even more surprisingly, when they inked Henry at the time, having already signed Johnny Smith. And that's an area of their offense that used to be prominent in the last couple of years, as I alluded to. It has been a non-entity. With those two players, there's a huge upside if they're healthy and on the field together. And I think the offense figures to channel through Smith and Henry. And it's been really, I think, fascinating to watch each of them. They're, you know, certainly in the case of Johnny Smith, here's a guy who's very athletic, very good after the catch. So the numbers, the statistics as a Tennessee Titan bear that out, especially after last year. And in the case of Hunter Henry, you know, we have seen him, when healthy as a Charger, be a very productive player. And Bill Belichick has always praised him and known him for a long time. And then you see them out there together, and you think about the possibilities in the red zone, how they're going to affect defenses, you know, what kind of an asset each of them, but especially both of them in concert, will be, whether it's Cam Newton at quarterback or Mac Jones, to get the Patriots back to, you know, their old ways of being a good short to intermediate passing team, but also takes advantage of its opportunities in the red zone, an area where they really struggled last year and even to some degree the previous season. And then you asked me about competition and the position battles, Rich. The third and fourth tight ends, Devin Asiasi, It looked like he was, you know, a guy that was in good shape in the spring, in the OTAs and mini camp. He struggled through his rookie season, of course, as most rookies did last year. Caught a touchdown pass in the season finale. I thought he was, you know, someone who stood out in OTAs just based on the way he was moving around the field and the seemingly confident player that he was showing himself to be at the time. But now he's COVID positive, and so he's been held out the first few days. And that's a lot of guys like Matt Lacoste, who opted out last year to get a lot of reps all so far. Troy Fumagalli is a player from Wisconsin. He's bounced around a little bit in the NFL. He's played a handful of games each of the last 2 years with the Denver Broncos. And, you know, he made some nice catches yesterday. Didn't see as much of him today. But, you know, again, that, you know, you talk about those positions. They're not the sexy position battles, if you will, or the ones that are going to capture much of the fans' attention in most cases. I think here they do because fans are, you know, so knowledgeable about the team and you know, in the NFL in particular, every guy in that 53-man roster is very important. But the third, fourth tight ends for this team, if they keep four, if they keep three, you know, who are the guys that are going to, you know, really be in competition for those one or two spots?
And defensively, too, I think there are plenty of reasons for optimism with the nucleus that they had coming back and then some of the new additions.
Rich, I think the defense should be not only good, but given the fact that Stephon Gilmore is there now, although he's on PUP, he's not participating, and taking that as an encouraging sign, as an optimistic sign that the Patriots and Gilmore can come to, you know, some kind of an agreement, or at least a situation that enables Stephon to go out there, and if he can approach his form of the past, I think it could be a great defense. I think what they have done offensively with the tight end spot, as I mentioned, you know, on the offensive line, bringing back Trent Brown, which has potential. I think there's still questions about that move. You know, that's reason to be, I think, encouraged. You know, the acquisition of Aguilar and Bourne, I think the wide receiver spot, you know, still, you know, merits, you know, more attention. And, you know, we're a long way from seeing those wide receivers really blossom the way that you hope they will. But I look at the defense, and I think what they have done in investment in free agency on the defensive side of the ball, but also I think, interestingly, and contrary to, you know, the draft record, prior to last year, over the course of the last four or five seasons, I think that the way that they drafted last year could have a real big impact on that unit. Matthew Judon, speaking of guys acquired outside the organization from the Ravens, pairing him with Kyle Van Noy and Dante Hightower. And, you know, you look at a guy like Raekwon McMillan, who was a pretty good player, I thought, his first couple of years for the Dolphins. And then, you know, a guy like Juwan Bentley, and Terrence Hall, who's out right now, you know, those are two guys that played a lot of snaps for them at linebacker last year. Well, now, you know, you look at the linebacker unit, and those guys right now are, you know, they're going to be in that mix, but by no means do you say they're at the forefront right now. You look at a guy like Josh Uche, second-year player, and I speak of last year's draft class. Uche is a young player that has a huge upside. He looked good in the spring for what it's worth moving around. I think he's continued that. We've heard other players talk about him a lot in a very impressive way. And, you know, I look at that group and I think, boy, last year that was a glaring weakness of this team. And now that's a strength. And then on the defensive line, same kind of situation. They brought in some big bodies and Devon Godshaw, Montrevious Adams, former Packer, Henry Anderson. They're going to be better against the run. Again, if healthy, Lawrence Guy comes back, Dietrich Wise, a much better defensive front seven when you combine those two groups. And then in the secondary, a guy that's been very impressive thus far, Kyle Duggar. He said yesterday that he was below average last year as a rookie, having been taken out of a Division II rank, second-round pick. Duggar looks like he's going to have a pretty big role on this team defensively. I know we are a long way from really roles being truly defined for this team, but just his versatility, how he played last year in terms of his aggressiveness and not having any stage fright whatsoever. I think that he's a young man that is really poised to take a big leap from year one to year two and fit in very well for that unit. So I think front to back defensively, this team has a lot of versatility. They have depth, and I think they're going to be very good.
Excellent. Well, Bob, it's great to talk football. We're looking forward to the season and with checking in with you throughout the year. And as always, appreciate you coming on today. I would say it was a Pete Rose-like leadoff performance without the baggage.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going over there with that Pete Rose analogy, Rich.
Great hustle, A game all the time, you know, just without all that other stuff.
All-time hits leader, all-time singles leader. You know, I'll take it. I used, you know, Charlie Hustle. That's me. Not especially bright, not especially good looking. And as you said, there's a lot of baggage there. But I guess I'll take it.
Not with you. No baggage with Bob Soucy. Just the A game every time.
All right, Rich, always good to talk to you. Next time, maybe we could do it over a craft beer.
That sounds great. Thank you, Bob. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
See you, Bob. Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots, the 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.